BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hey, listeners, you are not going to believe where we are standing. We are standing within the BBC TV broadcast enclosure. This is a sacred arena that we haven't been let into for 10 years?
Yeah, well, since 2000 we were here with BBC. Actually, 2002 was the last time. But we've never been allowed into the proper enclosure like the BBC Two one.
It's true. Every podcast we do from Glastonbury, we stand forlornly at the fence, staring in at a superior world that we're banished from.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we've managed to break inside.
We are stood directly beneath. You remember we told you about the fox?
The Wicker Fox.
The fox with the giant cocks? Dr. Brian Fox? Well, we're stood directly beneath his massive saxophone member. And we had to, I mean, James, our producer, had to jump through a number of hoops to get us in here. There's all kind of slightly pathetic
of course.
Bits of clearance that you have to do to be able to stand in here. You're like, are we allowed to take a photo here? I'll just check. I'll just go and check. Are we allowed to stand up?
And it's not sure. As if they're actually on air.
No.
Or anybody of any notice here.
They're
just rigging.
It's 1:15 in the afternoon.
Few hours, but still, we've had to hurdle the
TV
security hurdles.
It's a TV zone, so that's very important. Can you imagine if it was a feature film zone? I mean, we would just be instantly... Well, maybe Cornballs wouldn't be bad, because that's his world. But here in the TV hinterland...
Thanks for saying that.
So, wow. Last podcast from Glastonbury, and last Adam and Joe radio show in our current run.
Yeah, we've got some thank yous to say, but we'll leave that until our final link. Until then... Enjoy the highlights from our Sunday at Glastonbury.
Yeah, do your best. My brain just broke.
We were both feeling
during
it
this show.
So be charitable.
Yeah. Here we go.
This is the voice of the big British castle, broadcasting live from the Glastonbury country fair. We've got jams and cakes and bric-a-brac and smash the rat. There's also a chance to undermine society's rules, boring old fools.
I don't know if you can tell, listeners, but I'm a little bit absolutely knackered. How are you feeling at the end of the festival?
I'm feeling all right. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Got a few hours sleep last night.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I was dancing in the mud until the small hours, but I'm okay.
You were dancing in the mud. I mean, you're camping right there, right in the thick of it.
Mm.
I'm actually staying in a hotel.
What?
Yeah, I've been staying in a hotel in the nearby beautiful city of Wells, home of Hot Fuzz and Edgar Wright. Wells is the smallest city in the United Kingdom because of its wonderful cathedral there.
Oh, right. So the cathedral makes it a city.
That's right. It entitles it to city status. And my room in the hotel faced out onto the cathedral. Lovely view of the grounds. A lovely view of the grounds. And there's a beautiful green patch. I think they call it a lawn.
Yes. Grass, they call it.
They call it grass in front of the cathedral there. And last night I was absolutely delighted because there was a little gang of guys out there.
Having a boozer.
They had some drinking pop and they were smoking old-fashioned New Orleans-style cigarettes. And they were having a super fun Saturday night.
Were they locals, do you think?
Time. I guess they must have been...
What kind of age?
I would say early 20s.
That's a fun age.
It's a great, fun, exuberant age. Mm. I fell asleep. For a while, you know, I fell asleep around about midnight or something. Get a bit of sleep before the show. And so, unfortunately, I missed the beginning of one of the guys' fun speech because he started shouting.
Good.
After a while. It was absolutely great. And he was really screaming at the top of his voice. He was brilliant. And he did it for so long. It's great because it went on and on. And so, luckily, I woke up.
Like a sort of human cockerel, but at the wrong time and without the roll.
And he went on and on and on. So I woke up and I thought, oh, he's going to stop soon. He didn't stop. He went on and on and on. So then I thought, oh, well, I'll just have to record a little bit to play on the show. So here he is in action.
Is he reciting something?
I think he was freestyling, sort of declaiming freestyle Shakespeare kind of thing, or something. getting in the, you know, he was feeling the atmosphere of the place and getting in the mood.
It really was. It's quite sophisticated yobbism.
It was, wasn't it?
Sort of Shakespearean yobbism, period yobbism. Maybe it was a ghost. It was a ghost. A raucous ghost. That's what it was.
It was a big, raucous, drunk ghost. Yeah, he could
be
right.
It's the best type of ghost.
It was very unusual, though, because Wells is a quiet place. I mean, I guess that's why Edgar decided that it would be a good place to do Hot Fuzz, the idea of everyone shooting each other up in a place like that.
In a peaceful place.
Yeah.
That's terrible. When did that stop?
It stopped, I would say, around 3:30.
Were you not tempted to go out and tell them to
sure
shut themselves
I
up?
Was. I was waiting for it. He finally calmed down. It was one of those things where you key yourself up and you think, if he goes on for 5 minutes more, I'm going down there in the totally nude and I'm going to give him all kinds of pieces of my mind. But luckily...
Never happened.
Nah, it never happened, so, you know. And I went back to sleep, but...
Well, you should have come and danced in the mud at Shangri-La.
Oh, were you...
I had an amazing time.
Yeah?
I was off my face. On happiness.
Right.
I was slip-sliding around. The consistency of slime on the dance floor meant I could do some amazing moves.
Yeah, Tom York was DJing there last night.
He was.
In
Tommy
the crashed
and me,
plane.
We were having a Wickles time.
Yeah, Tom was playing all kind of obscure German electronica and you were playing the Wiggles again.
You in your hotel. You should have camped, you square.
Let's have some music.
Yes.
Podcast. That's the podcast groove, baby. You're grooving on it.
Yeah.
Are you grooving?
Yes.
Good. THEADAM@JOE. PODCAST, that's the podcast group, baby. Would you mind me calling you baby?
No.
Do you like being treated like a baby?
Yeah, no.
Have you done a stinky?
Yes.
THEADAM@JOE. PODCAST, that's the podcast group, baby. PODCAST, that's the podcast groove, baby. Do you approve of the groove?
No.
Well, does the groove make you move?
No.
DHEADAM@JOE. PODCAST, that's the podcast groove, baby. The groove's finishing now.
Yes.
We'll do some more grooving later. Goodbye.
A lot of controversy here in the studio after Adam's claim. What was your claim?
That Wells was the smallest city in the UK.
I mean, you should know by now not to try and
do any facts.
Float any facts.
No, no.
Your fact boats are not seaworthy.
They are absolutely leaky.
Neither of us. I mean, both of us were hopeless with facts.
My fact boats are like rustic trugs. Yeah, thanks, Stanley. We got a message here. Look, it says, Wells is the smallest city in England, not the UK. That honour belongs to the Welsh city of St David's. Lots of love, Stanley, aged six.
Sussed by a six-year-old.
In Bristol. Another message that's just anonymous and blunt. St David's in Wales is the smallest city, not Wells. And I think at the end it's got a... Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for that.
Okay, so listen, listeners. Yesterday, me and lovely Lucy went... what can I say? Yomping?
Yeah,
clomping.
You can say yomping. Well, it's more like schlumping, isn't
schlumping
it?
Schlumping around the site, around the Glastonbury site, and collected some mystery sounds. Okay, ooh, this is a fun game, a fun kind of radio game. Do you like fun, Adam?
I
know the listeners like fun. I don't need to ask them. Do you? Do you like fun?
I feel as if I'm growing out of fun.
Growing out of it. Well, see if you can remember about fun and claw some of it back.
All right.
Because it's time to play a fun game of mystery Glastonbury sounds. I'm going to play you a sound.
Yeah.
Adam, Count Buckley's Buxton, and listeners, you can join in as well. You have to tell me what you think the sound is. It's as simple as that.
And are these typical sounds from the festival, or are they very odd sounds that you've got out?
Very typical sounds. Very, very typical. Here is sound, mystery Glastonbury sound number one. Right. What's that sound? Tell me what's happening. What's that sound? Tell me what's happening.
Is that someone inflating their codpiece?
That is not
with
the members of Cameo. No,
pump.
and that is not that is not Bonio from U2 trying to pump up his ancient Butox to give them some youthful youthful, bubblishness. There it is again. What's that sound? Tell me what's happening. What's that sound? Tell me. Now, that sound is commonly heard all over the site.
Is it someone trying to extract their boots from a mud clump? And the air sucking that goes on there. Can I have one more listen?
Sure. This is going to take a while, though, because we do have five.
It sounds like a bicycle pump.
Hand sanitizer. It's all over the site.
I absolutely love hand sanitizer.
You do. You use it all the time, yet you don't recognize the sound. What does that say about you?
I don't know.
Absolutely nothing.
I'm very shallow.
Okay, number two. Sound number two. Ready for sound number two, Buckley's?
Yeah.
So no points so far. Here is Glastonbury sound number two.
Make sure you screw it on properly. Make sure it's tight, nice and tight. Doing another event like Glastonbury 2008.
What is that
sound?
Is that the sexual health counsellor down in the healing field?
After that pregnancy.
Yeah, can we have
in
one 2008? More? One more listen.
Make sure you screw it on properly. Make sure it's tight, nice and tight. Doing another event like Glastonbury 2008.
That's the key sound, the snapping, the plastic snap at the end.
Oh, I know what that is. What is it? That's one of the great guys in their Viz jackets putting the band, that your entry band.
No.
What?
Wrong.
What is it then?
Wrong.
You're delighted.
Wrong.
It's wrong
about.
O'clock. That is one of the poo pipe men.
The poo pipe men?
That go around with the big trucks and they suck all the stuff out of the bogs.
Right.
And they put them in their lorries and take it away to bogland.
Petey
and Paul Poo Pipe. And of course, the great incident in 2008 was when they connected it up wrong and sprayed it all over everybody.
Oh, did that really happen?
It really happened. Possibly not in 2008.
Like Father Ted.
We guessed that.
Oh, my
goodness.
There we
go. Okay, so two down. Not doing very well, Count Buckley's.
No.
You shouldn't sleep in the hotel. You should try and see the festival a bit more.
Can I just...
Like me.
Here we go. Can I just say that I'm rediscovering fun?
You are, aren't you?
This is
what it's
fun.
Like to be young. Number three. Okay, here we go. What is this sound? Sound number three.
Mummy, Daddy, Wu-Tang Clan weren't rude enough for me. I want my money back. Why didn't they swear more?
That is the sound of a nice middle-class person's young child who they've dragged along to the festival to instill naughtiness into the child, and the child is absolutely up in arms because everything's a little bit sanitized.
That's correct. The child was disappointed at the lack of not enough swearing and crudity at the during the Wu-Tang set.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang.
Were you similarly disappointed?
I was very disappointed, yeah. Well, I watched it on telly in the hotel. and they dipped the swearing down. Yeah. But that was a young chap called Zeke.
So I got one right, yes!
Yeah, you did get one right. Zeke is the brother of Eden and Wilf, and they were a very nice family we met. They were lovely, weren't they? So a big shout-out to them. And, yeah, that was Zeke getting annoyed about the lack of swearing. Kids like a lot of heavy swearing. I mean, they're inured to that sort of thing now, so you really need to lay it on thick to shock a child.
But the thing is... the thing is that they like a certain type of swearing, don't they? I mean,
a
child's favourite swearing is something poo-based, anything with the word poo in it. Poo head, poo pants, poo face, that
right.
kind of thing.
Paint.
So if the Wu-Tang... And the Wu-Tang would be allowed to say that stuff if they incorporated some poo head stuff.
They don't like that kind of thing, the Wu-Tang.
Do they not?
It's too lavatorial. Okay, number four. What is this sound?
Whoa, you got some really good mystery sounds.
Thanks, dude. What is it? Play it again.
Is that a vuvuzela sleeping?
Snoring.
Yeah.
A vuvuzela in deep sleep.
Or is it the sound of a big fat gentleman lying in a bath of mud, having a doze, but...
Someone stuck a kazoo up his...
Yes, exactly.
...areas.
Right.
No.
What?
I mean, it's tricky, this one. You could get it.
Something about a water bottle, maybe?
No, we're going to put you out of your misery. That is Ed from the Friendly Fires making an owl noise through his hands.
How was I supposed to get that?
Because you love the Friendly Fires and you're mates with Ed.
I didn't know he...
Ed loves the show. We ran into Ed. He's a big fan of the show.
I don't know.
He says the podcasts have helped him through some tough times.
Oh, thanks, Ed.
And he made that amazing bird noise, didn't he, Lucy?
I didn't know Ed could do the bird noises.
You have got 1 out of 4. Here is your last chance to claw back some integrity.
All right.
What is this sound?
Oh. 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 Wow.
Whew. Is that Piers Bronholm having a wee-wee?
An incredibly powerful tapping wee.
I know exactly what that is.
Like a high-pressure hose.
That's Dr. Sexy in a big sexy shower.
Yeah.
That's in one of those showers in a bag.
Oh. Oh.
That's Dr. Sexy and Taffin.
You know what? That's what it'll sound like when I take my bit. Because one of the nice things about being at a festival is going home and having an amazing shower.
Yeah.
That first shower that cleans you right off.
Absolutely.
It's lovely. But that was actually the sound of me washing the very heavy, claggy mud off my boots, which you're not supposed to do because it's a waste of water. But I done it anyway.
Because you're too big for your boots. That's your thing. Thanks, well, man. Well, that was a fun game.
Thanks, mate.
And thanks, Lucy, for going out there and probably doing most of the work.
Hey, that's not true.
Traveling tales, tales of traveling on the train or an automobile or an aeroplane. I want to know what your traveling tales.
All aboard the Skylark!
Well, we're going to be getting on the train in a while, like many other festival goers, and heading back to our straight lives. Yeah. And
boring.
Just be boring. This is from Serge of Midsummer, where all the murders happen. He says, "Hello, boys. I was listening to the lamentable tale of the young lady who felt she was overly chastised for putting up her feet on the seats of the Metropolitan line." And we told that the other day. It was a message from a young lady who...
Well, she expected us to support her for her right to put her feet on the seats, but unfortunately we went the other way. We're not supporters of feet on seats.
No, we're not. I mean, she was contrite, but she felt that she'd been overly chastised for having the feet on the seats. Anyway, Serge says, "Well, maybe she should count herself lucky that the following didn't happen to her. One summer's evening after work, I was on my way up to town from Uxbridge and was sharing the carriage with some young lads..." Young lads, eh? "Who seemed, like Madam from a few weeks ago, to think that the clearly positioned sign requesting that people keep their feet off the seats did not apply to them. As the train arrived at Rayner's Lane, I was being very British about containing my seething rage when a rather fidgety older gentleman boarded the train. I could see the cold sweat crossing his face as he blurted out to the boys that they should keep your feet off the seats. Keep them off!" The boys laughed and shrugged, but the man persisted, "There's a sign! Keep your feet off the seats!" The boys ignored him and carried on chatting. The train made to depart when the man stumbled across the carriage and pulled the emergency cord. The train juddered to a halt and the boys went silent, peering incredulously at each other. Several minutes later, the driver had made his way to the end of the carriage where he inquired as to what had transpired. Both parties appeared unrepentant. The driver, a reasonable man, to all intents and purpi, brackets plural of purposes, says Serge, took the view that the man's actions were entirely disproportionate given the circumstances, advising that the man had disrupted the network. Fair enough, I thought. What I did find a little difficult to comprehend, though, was the fact that the driver stood his ground and refused to return to his cab and pilot the train until the man had apologised to the boys.
No.
Yeah.
Good driver.
You reckon?
Well, I like him, you know, whether you think he was right or wrong, he's taking a firm stance.
I think tell the old chap off for pulling the emergency cord, but you don't get him to apologise to the hoolies with their feet on the seats. That's too much, isn't it?
Cornballs doesn't. He's not convinced. I don't know. I'm getting weird sympathy with the lads here.
Are you?
Yeah. I think I know the guy. Do his voice again.
Get your feet off your seats!
Yeah, I know that guy.
Really?
Yeah, that's Grandpa Weird. He's cool because he's known locally as Grandpa Weird.
Yeah, he's always pulling the emergency
Isn't there a
cord?
Thing in that email that he's got lots of plastic bags full of weird stuff?
P.S. He has lots of plastic bags full of weird stuff.
He's known as a kind of Grandpa a trampy chap. Weird. You know what I think he's known as?
What?
Count Buckules.
He's not Count Buckules. He's smartly dressed.
You sure he didn't have a big backpack and a bicycle and a beard? There we go. That's the noise. That's the noise he makes. Well, I'm divided about that. I'm not sure whose side to be on.
Yeah.
But you don't go pulling no emergency cord unless it's, you know, feet on seats is not an emergency.
Feet on seats not really.
That's very
emergency,
irresponsible. He should have had the fine imposed.
But the Utes, man, they would have been out of control with joy after that result, wouldn't you think?
You think it's a blow
they
for subversion?
They would be crowing. Poor old Grandpa Weird. I'm on his side.
What a story. It's a morally ambiguous story.
Hey-ho. Well, that's enough. That's a good noise, though, isn't it?
Hey, what?
Hey-ho. Oh,
hey-ho.
Hey-ho.
It's yeah, because I've been... the last thing you'll say before you die. hey-ho.
Hey-ho.
That'll be it. Buckley's out.
Adam and Joe are in the Glasgow zone. They got funny hats and wellies and a microphone. But that's about all they got.
Now, yesterday morning, we had a fantastically uplifting encounter with Glasto Squadron, the Glastonbury segment of our Black Squadron listening force. We went to meet them at about 10 a.m. at the top of the show. You can hear it in yesterday's podcast. But a funny thing happened to me.
Uh-huh.
Adam's just going to close the door there. We opened the door,
friends.
But the fisherman's friends are getting out of control.
They're getting a bit leery.
I'm going to have to close that door. So as I was walking out of the BBC compound towards the gate, there was a fantastic sort of clutch of squadron members.
Yeah.
And I waved at them, and they all sort of cheered and applauded, which was very nice indeed. But between me and them, there was a man, a ruddy, rotund, jolly-faced man with his family, four little children with their faces painted. They'd somehow got into the BBC enclosure, and they were waiting there with an autograph book. And they saw the squadron cheering,
yeah.
And he saw me coming, saw that they were cheering at me, and he said, hello, mate. Oh, I love you. You're brilliant. I'm such a big fan. I thought, oh, that's really nice. And he got out an autograph book, and he got me to sign. He had some pretty big autographs in there. And he was saying, oh, you're brilliant. I love you. We were really hoping to meet you. I love your stuff. A little voice in the back of my head going, he doesn't look like a typical Six Music listener. Doesn't look like it, you know, but I don't want to be in any way, you know, prejudiced. I don't have any particular, you know.
You want to presume.
Yeah. So I signed his autograph book. And while I was signing the book, he said, oh, I just bought your new album last week. It's great. I thought, Song Wars Volume 2? Maybe he's bought that. I thought, no, well, there's a small chance. But basically it dawned on me.
He's the guy.
He had no idea who I was.
No.
And he was just fishing for fun autographs. But it didn't. I'd realised that. I think he'd realised by that point.
Yeah.
Because he'd seen my autograph. Joe Cornish.
Jay Corn.
Who? What?
I haven't got his name.
But we
album.
Still went through with the charade. I crouched down. I had my photo taken with his kids grinning. He said, bye, great to see you. Have a brilliant festival. It was strange.
See you, Jay Corn. You should have started.
He certainly didn't say, see you, Jay Corn, because my signature was illegible. He didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
He was just crazy autograph fishing.
Wow. It would be good if he'd said, God, will you sing your new song for the kiddie? And you could have just freestyled something.
Yeah, a bit of Coldplay. Do you think I should have told him who I wasn't?
I think it's better to
just to carry on with the charade.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it's a tricky one,
hollow.
Isn't it?
I felt a bit hollow, though.
Yeah, because no member of that family would have had a truly rewarding experience, would they?
I just flash forward to Antiques Roadshow 2026 when it's presented on hover platforms from the Six Nebula. It's presented by Professor Brian Cox in 2026, and they're looking through this autograph book and they're going Beyonce, Chris Martin, who?
Wait a second, is this Jay Corn?
Jay Corn balls? Who's that?
But maybe by that time you will be a platinum-selling music artist as well as a very successful director. So.
It's almost inevitable, almost guaranteed.
Yeah.
You know, once the Retro Text the Nation jingle is released as a single, a jingle single, the world's first jingle single.
Jingle single.
it rhymes, so it's got to happen.
Didn't even ask Dr. Buckles for his signature. And I could have passed for Bobo Hoskins.
You could. Ooga Booga.
Ooga Booga. Would you like my signature?
Bobo Hoskins.
Kids, it's the fella from Super Mario Brothers. Ooga Booga.
All right, this is Beyonce. I'm looking forward to playing tonight. Only problem is I've lost me booty. If anyone finds it, could you hand it in? Because I can't play the show with no booty. Thanks.
It's a beautiful day here at Glastonbury. The mud is drying out and there's summer and joy and nudism in the air. Now, I think it's time that we had some facts, some hard facts. We've already had some fun, hard, incorrect facts this morning about Wells being the smallest city in the UK. So let's have some more right now about Beyoncé, tonight's headline act on the Pyramid Stage.
Bad facts!
Yeah. Did you know, Joe Cornish, that Beyoncé Knowles was... And I didn't know any of this. I was amazed when I found out this stuff because I had quite a preconceived notion of where Beyoncé was at, where she was from. She was born in Brighton in 1925. Her father was the hairy ginger film blogger Harry Knowles.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother was, of course, Destiny.
Was there something there?
I was leaving that to hang. She's Destiny's child.
Okay.
Come on!
That was good, that was good. I was intimidated by how good that was.
Yes!
I didn't even get it.
Exactly. For Beyoncé's sixth birthday, her father, Harry Knowles, gave her three gifts that would change her life. Gift number one, a profound love of showbiz, which he just gave her in a box. Gift number two, the album Anthem by Toya.
Terrific album.
One of the big woman albums.
Big woman albums.
Out there. And number three, a beautiful antique booty. Armed with these gifts, Beyoncé dedicated herself to breaking into the entertainment world.
Good stuff. I didn't know any of that.
Well, you know, I'm not finished. So, Bruce, Beyoncé has no formal qualifications, did you know? But she does have seven Knowles levels. One for the money.
Oh, my. Oh, good.
Two for the show.
Oh, my good. Yeah.
Three to get ready. And one for home ec. Beyoncé got her big break traveling around the country with her father, Harry Knowles, shaking her booty that he'd given her, to records by Shack Attack, whilst Harry dressed up in a big foam rubber suit with polka dots on it and fell on top of her from time to time. One evening, a top television exec saw the show and he immediately thought, this is going to be great on TV, commissioned a series. And of course, that became the much-loved TV landmark Knowles House Party.
Mm. Featuring Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
Keep going. More facts. More facts. Come on, facts. Have you got more?
No.
Do you, though? Do you really have more? No. That was good.
That's all the facts there are about her. Nothing else is known.
She's a very mysterious figure.
Yeah, she was in
that
Austin
was great.
Powers.
How did you research those facts?
I asked some people.
Right, you just asked around.
I asked one of the guys in Wells, like outside Wells Cathedral yesterday.
Yeah.
He was sitting around smoking.
Well, good facts.
Jazz cigarettes.
Glastonbury memories.
I remember seeing Barnacle Bill in 1925.
That was amazing.
They played everything.
Toucan Poucan.
Stop Roger.
Your Eyes Are On Fire. Tuppenny Bilberry. And
What If I Should Fall and Davina McCall.
It was absolutely sick.
I remember waking up outside the toilets with burgers and mud on my face. At least I think it was mud.
And I remember a dog saying very clearly, "Hello, Mungo,"
which I was surprised by.
But I don't really remember anything else.
A Laura, Laura, lovely Glastonbury memories, Chuck. She wanted one
in. Justin Bieber.
Lovely babe.
If you were mud, what kind of mud were you, boy?
I like the shadow mud with the grass poking through.
Oh, thanks, Lucy and Laura.
We received a text from a female Joe. With a couple of kisses. She says, "Hi, Adam and Joe. Not sure if this will reach you at Glastonbury, but I had to text to say to you the following. I am at Glastonbury. I was sitting in the green fields eating breakfast, and two children came over to me with monkey puppets, asking if we would make a donation if they sang a song. To my surprise, the song they proceeded to sing was Adam's festival song.
What?
I think you should be aware of other artists profiting from your material." So that's pretty good, isn't it? There are a couple of kids with
pretty
monkey
good.
Puppets.
I'm going to go out there, find those kids and slap the monkey puppets out of their hands. Where's my money?
Hence, here's another chance, and it's an apposite time to play this to hear Count Buckley's festival song.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Gazman, it's the Julianator.
just to let you know, I bought the tickets for Sludgefest, as well as Chillax, Wicker World, the Inoffensive Electronica Festival, Wet Weekend, and Pimms in the Park with Timbuk3 headlining. Drop us a text if you think I've missed any. Cheers, ears.
Load up the 4x4, it's festival time. We're stuffing the chill bag with nibbles and wine. We're going to sleep inside a collapsible yurt. We've got a nurse in case anybody gets hurt.
Festivals used to be awful, just Krusty's weirdo groups. There was nowhere to charge your mobile and nowhere nice for doing poops. Now they're often in stately homes with global cuisine that's ace. And you can leave the kids in a really nice creche while you get off your face.
Hip hip hooray, it's time for festival fun. We've got our hats and our sun cream in case there's some sun. But when it rains, we've got our green welly boots. And if we feel the love, we've got our birthday suits.
Look, kids, that's Keith Allen. That's Lily Allen's dad. He's been coming since the 60s, and apparently he's really mad. And over there, that's Katie Moss. That's right, that crazy druggies ex. Let's ask her if she'll join us for a boogie and some sex.
Everybody over to the advert stage. Moby's on, oh yes. Then it's Groove Armada with the theme from M&S. And then it's a bloke that I don't really know with a tune from a phone campaign. And then it's Suds with the Iceland song, then Moby's on again.
We've got some chill pills, some Whizwas and a Grammys and stuff. But I'm a little bit worried, that won't be enough. So could you call Jemima and ask her to bring a bit of rice, some jelly and a big ball of string. And don't forget the Barocca and the yoga mats too, because there's going to be healing and yoga to do. And there's a bloke from Tibet who can teach us to breathe. And after that, we'll see Moby, then we'll probably leave. Load up the 4x4, it's festival time. We're stuffing the chill bag with nibbles and wine. We're going to sleep inside a collapsible yurt. We've got a nurse in case anybody gets hurt. Load up the 4x4, it's festival time. We're stuffing the chill bag with nibbles and wine. We're going to sleep inside.
Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
Yeah, and as you know, listeners, we're big fans of the film Taffin.
We absolutely love the story of tough local Taffin going in to sort out some mobsters.
I mean, I've never seen it all.
I don't
all
know.
I've seen is the bit.
Yeah. I mean, we failed to track down Bronholm, didn't we?
We did. We tried to get him on the show, but, I mean,
he's
wisely, really, he wasn't interested.
You would have slightly less respect for him, I would imagine, if he
I
did.
I just think he shouldn't engage with this kind of tomfoolery.
No, exactly.
But we've made an interesting discovery. Or did this come thanks to a listener? Yes, it did. This came thanks to Chris Brookbanks, who wrote to us, "Dear Adfarm and Jomobile."
I love the Jomobile.
Probably a bit late now, but I found a Hindi version of Taffin, and attached is the famous line from said foreign language version.
Hindi Bronholm.
So this is interesting because, of course, a lot of movies, when they're released in the world, have multiple language tracks. You know, you get that menu at the beginning and you've got to select what country you're in, and it's got a list of loads of territories. But, of course, that means if Taffin has that, then that line has been dubbed by a foreign actor in all of those languages.
I mean, is Taffin even available on DVD, though?
Yeah, it is.
It is, yeah.
Sure, it's available on DVD.
And
it's widely available across the world.
And it would have all those foreign language versions on it, surely not.
Well, I think it's possible. Yeah. I did this with E.T. before on the show years ago.
E.T.'s a bit bigger than Taffin, isn't it?
No, is it?
Little.
I don't know about that. So here is that amazing Taffin line performed.
Well, let's do the original line to remind people.
Good thinking.
And we could even set up the line with a bit of acting, couldn't we? What goes on in this town is none of your business. Well, it is while I'm living here.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Wow, was that real?
Yeah, that's exactly how
that's
he does
exactly
it.
That's exactly how he does it.
He's got incredible lungs, Bronholm.
He does. Now let's hear how that is put across in the Hindi version.
यहाँ जो भी हो रहा है उससे तुम्हारा कोई मतलब नहीं है.
जब मैं यहाँ हूँ तो मतलब है.
तो फिर ठीक है, तुम यहाँ से दफा हो जाओ.
Hojao! He could extend the hojao, though, surely.
Yeah, that was disappointingly short. We might have to do a bit of Doctor and the Medic-sing that.
The thing is that this is our last show here on Six Music, myself and Joe, for quite some time. So who is going to take care of Bronholm in our absence?
I think we've given Bronholm enough of a fillip.
You reckon?
It'll keep him going for a while,
People
yeah.
can take care of him themselves, can't they?
But that was fantastic. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, cheers.
An amazing piece of Hindi drama there.
I like to change the lyrics of songs from time to time.
Lock the taskbar.
To make them refer to things I do.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh
I call
yeah.
it appropriation, and as far as I'm aware, it isn't a crime. I wonder if it's something you do too.
Yes it is, yes it is, yes it is.
I like that jingle.
Oh, you're going to miss that jingle,
I
aren't
like
you, listeners? That's a bit Wild Beasts-esque, isn't it? Here's one to get the ball rolling from Peter. He's a male boy, aged 26. Every time I part-bake naan bread in the oven, when in cooking a curry, he says, I sing naan, na-na-na-naan, na-na-na-naan, na-na-na-na-na-naan, in the vein of Inikamozi, Hot Stepper. Love you, bye, says Peter.
That's good. A naan bread-based one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Here come the hot pitta. That's another one that some people do.
Mm-hmm. Here's an email we got from Mike from Brighton. Dear Adam and Joe, re-pod-prop-reations, brackets. Is that right? No, it's not. It's wrong. Pop-propriation. It's a sort of confused reconstruction of the word appropriation, isn't it? Mm. Anyway, the one about changing the words on songs to fit with one's circumstances at that moment. When it's starting to rain, I will often bore and irritate my family by singing the Weather Girls classic It's Raining Men, substituting the word men with the word rain. This is apparently very annoying indeed, but I still think it's funny, so there you go. Asterisk. It's extremely important to sing this in tune and with some modicum of musicality or sincerity. Otherwise, younger people may think you're singing the Jerry Halliwell version.
Oh, dear.
That would be terrible.
It's rain and rain.
Woo!
Hallelujah, it's rain and rain.
Amen. Is that
big
sincere enough?
Sweat, giant drops, falling down from the sky on the plops.
But that's good, isn't it? It's sort of come full circle and cancelled itself out, that one. And I think you're right. That would be very annoying indeed.
Yeah.
And the fact that you still think it's funny, Mike, is extra annoying and possibly even funnier.
That's my favourite type of humour, is not knowing when to stop, just going on and on
yeah.
and on.
Until yeah, it comes back round again.
Beat. You have to physically beat.
Yeah, they get angry, then laugh again, then even angrier, then laugh
yeah.
harder.
And it's not
if
funny.
If it works.
Exactly.
Yeah. If it works. Well done, Mike. Thank you.
Finally, here is something that's maybe not strictly speaking pop appropriation, but definitely somewhere in the Venn diagram. Dear Ladam and Jomo Sapien.
Nice.
Hello, I'm a female girl called Sophie. I'm emailing regarding a matter that is sort of related to pop appropriation, but something sort of different. My friend Gareth and I are in a band, so we spend lots of time sitting in a van for long periods. We were recently talking about how sometimes we link different songs in our heads. So, for example, when you start a line of a song and it morphs into another song. Does that mm-hmm. ever happen to you? Mm-hmm. It's like a portmanteau, but for songs which we have cleverly labelled song manto.
Nice.
So here is a few examples of song manto. For example, Aztec Camera, Somewhere in My Heart, going into Dusty Springfield, I Only Want to Be With You.
Summer in the city and the air is still, a baby being born to the overkill. But you started something, oh, can't you see? Ever since we met, you had a hold on me.
It's like a demented medley.
Yeah, song manto.
That could be a whole new segment.
It's good, isn't it? And here's another one. Peter Gabriel, Salisbury Hill and Thin Lizzy. The boys are back in town.
Climbing up on Salisbury Hill. Down at Dino's Bar and Grill.
I don't know if that's the actual tune for the Thin Lizzy bit. And the last one, she says, is G. Knight, Mr. Big Stuff, going into Red Hot Chili Peppers Roller Coaster.
Mm.
And these are just exhortations now. Whoa, yeah,
of love.
Wow, is that it? They've both been compressed so much that you can't really recognise either of them.
Well, that's the G. Knight. Mr. Big Stuff.
Nice.
Who do you think you are?
That's good. I bet if I thought about it, I could drum up some of those.
Roller Coaster.
of love. Just wondering if anyone else does this like we do. Keep up the good work, says Sophie Galpin. The podcast is always a source of great mirth in our tour van. Love you. We love you too, Sophie. Thanks very much for that. And thanks to everyone who sent us in appropriation over the last few weeks. It's been very enjoyable.
I'm a giant fan of Morrissey. Is he Morrissey or is Morrissey me? All the fans of me just want to see Morrissey.
I'm a funny person, I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
So this is a part of the show that Scornballs poured quite a lot of scorn on a few weeks ago. It wasn't because of the quality of the jokes, but in a way it was, because I found it very psychologically tiring to go through them, to read them all, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, we are overjoyed at the quantity of emails we've got, particularly in the last, you know, couple of months, but it does make ploughing through the submitted jokes quite grueling, doesn't it?
Well, sometimes when the jokes aren't sufficiently chucklesome, or you feel that maybe they've been made before...
Bit of a brain strain.
Because the other thing is that it requires quite a lot of work. You have to enter these things into Google.
We hate work.
We don't really
just
like
you,
work.
Listeners.
You know, that's why we're at the Glastonbury Festival.
But listen, we're going to do this segment now for the last time, and as a result, am I right in saying that you have got the greatest made-up joke ever, and we're only going to do one... And that's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just an average one.
It's just one that made me chuckle like all the other ones.
It's good enough.
I put the punchline into Google and it didn't return anything, but hey,
right.
I thought Wells was the smallest city in the UK. So
a lot resting on this.
Why have we done it different? Okay.
Exactly. Good point.
This is from Tom. He's a 17 to 25-year-old postman from Edinburgh.
I like that.
Very nice.
Straddles all the ages.
He's in the demographic, and he is a postman. Yo, buckwheat and corn cob. I don't know if you're going to do any made-up jokes anymore, but just in case, here is one. I did independently come up with this, but I don't claim to be the first person ever to do so. All right, scornballs, he says in caps. Here goes. Why aren't pregnant women hungry?
I don't know. Why aren't pregnant women hungry?
Because they gestate.
Nice!
Because they gestate! In your face!
Can that be made up? Can he be the first person in the world to figure out that gestate sounds like just ate?
Yes.
Yes, good, good. Factron.
He is the first guy ever to stumble on that joke. Love, love, love you, says Tom. Cheers, Tom.
T-H-E-A-D-A-M, ampersand J-O-E, B-O-D-C-A-S-T, that's the podcast crew, baby.
Glastonbury crew. It's intense. It's also outside tense. Next week it'll be past tense.
T-H-E-A-D-A-M, ampersand J-O-E, B-O-D-C-A-S-T, that's the podcast group, baby.
Look, we're banging on bits of metal around the campfire. It's 3:30 in the morning. This is mad.
T-H-E-A-D-A-M, ampersand J-O-E, B-O-D-C-A-S-T, that's the podcast group, baby.
Naked Old Lady Groove, look, over there, Naked Old Lady, displaying her wonderful wizened wares.
The other very exciting guest who's been around, spotted by a few paparazzo this weekend, was a stinky dog. Who?
Not Boggins.
Yeah, he's a friend of the show for a while.
Well, he made an appearance yesterday morning during our Glastonbury squadron meeting, where his fate was decided by mob rule.
That's right.
And they actually gave him a lease of life, so he was freed into the muddy fields of Glastonbury to gamble and poop.
He went scampering off. I mean, it's very difficult for Boggins to tell the difference between a place to poop and, you know, he's in paradise.
Perfect environment for him. He may live here in the woods with, what's her face?
Kate Moss.
Yeah, for the rest of the year.
Be her little stinky pal.
Her little stinky dog on a string.
Well, do you remember we were talking about Louis Armstrong the other day and speculating that he was, in a way, the jazz Boggins?
Yes.
Well, here is Boggins making that dream a reality.
This is a sort of beautiful emotional farewell to Boggins, really, isn't it?
It is. I think it's the last time we're going to be seeing him for a little bit. And
I may cry during this.
He's getting used to his new home.
I'm welling up.
The Glastonbury Festival. Oh, I'm so excited. I see tents of green and red and orange and blue. I'm going to pee on them all before the festival's through. And I stink to myself. Oh, Boggins, what a wonderful smell. It's almost like one giant toilet. I go inside a tent and eat somebody's food. Leave my hair in their sleeping bag, and I'm sick in it too. And I stink to myself. What a wonderful smell. I love this place. Just look at it. The giant piles of rubbish are climbing to the sky. There's a whiff of human feces on that man who just walked by. I see dogs on strings saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I just done a poo. I find a little birdie's nest, so I smash and eat the eggs. And then I lick a toddler's face and bite him on the legs. Not badly. And I stink to myself. What a wonderful smell. I think something might have died in your tent. Can I have it? And I stink to myself. What a wonderful smell. I think I've finally found my home. I've got a problem with my bum. I love you.
And that's the end of the podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. If there's anyone famous in the audience, could you please come backstage and tell me I'm brilliant? I'm quite depressed.
You rejoin us back in the hallowed ground of BBC television. That's right, television. Very exciting for two radio presenters to be near cameras that are switched off, even.
We just walked past a bloke with a baseball cap and a large beard, and Joe just said, who's that beardy man? It was Beardy Man.
Yeah, I felt like finally I had reached a position where I could competently present a music show.
So here
but
we are.
But sadly, of course, this is our last podcast and our last radio show for a while here on Six Music. So we both want to say a sincere thank you to everybody who's listened
the thing
over
is
the
that
last months.
If I start getting sincere, things go wrong with me. You
it
know what I mean?
It starts to sound insincere.
And so I was thinking, like, well, the problem I have is when I say something genuinely sincere, I start to cry.
Right.
So
so much pent-up, repressed emotion.
Exactly, that's been kept down for so long. So I was thinking of saying my thank yous in Australian, mate.
That's a good idea. I might join you.
Yes, come on.
I'd like to start by saying thank you, obviously, to James.
Oh, James, mate.
He's standing right here. We're going to embarrass him by looking at him with my sunglasses off.
Yeah, happy face.
And saying, James, thank you for everything you've done. You've done an amazing job. Couldn't have done it without you.
And he sculpts the podcast into something. I love listening to the podcast. I mean, apart from the fact that it's got me in it. I love me. I'm so great. But I think you do such a great job.
And,
oh, I forgot to be Australian, mate. It's great. I was going to cry.
The beautiful 12-year-old Lucy.
Lucy, she's only 12.
Who,
and she's...
If you've followed us on our blog, you'll have seen a little beautiful photo of her visage. But she's amazing. She's going to really go places here in the castle.
She's
and wherever she wants
it.
In the world.
She's super efficient. We should mention Tom. Tom's not here today, but he's been a wonderful addition to the Adam and Joe family on Six Music. And he's a nice chap, Tom.
But of course, you know, most of all, we should thank you guys who've listened and supported us and everybody who's texted in or emailed, all of Black Squadron, all of Twit Squadron, all the Podcats, all of Slack Squadron, all of Glasto Squadron, all the infinite different squadrons. Have I missed out any squadrons?
You know who you are. They're all the squadrons there.
And I'd like to say a special thank you to Auntie Nubbins, who's one of our most enthusiastic and biggest online supporters, who blogs about every little noise we make in every arena. Thank you, Nubbins, for your support. We don't know who you are. I don't anyway, but that adds to the mystery and excitement.
Yeah, we'd like to bump into you one day. She's the kind of fan that I think people dream of having.
Yeah.
Not too insane, just really nice.
To Hobsey, who runs another website, and also to Wickwox, and basically everybody who regularly tweets and texts and emails us.
Yeah, you know, without you guys, we've said it before, but it always bears saying again, this show would be even more of a stinky, shallow shell, empty shell than it is. You know, it would be absolutely nothing. And we should also thank Bronholm. It's been wonderful having Bronholm in the family for the last 3 months.
And David as well. And
David, of course. So, you know,
thank
while
you
we're
to
gone.
The Queen.
Oh, Laura, folks, to Queen.
Thank you to Boggins.
Laura, folks, to Queen. Thanks to Any Different.
And that's it. Listen, you can hear the telly gearing up. It's time for us radio.
We're being ejected now.
Minions to leave. But that's it from us. We'll be back as soon as we possibly can on BBC Six Music.
Take care. We love you. Bye! I'm being looked at weird by TV people. In your face, TV people!
Bye.
Bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts. If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4. Six Music.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed, everyone, for coming. It was really fun. I had a great time. I hope you did too.
Don't forget, there's a puppet show at 3 o'clock, and also they're lovely cakes baked by a woman called Daisy. Bye-bye.
And I'm going to play Smash the Rat now. The only problem is someone's taken the rat. So could you pop it back, please, in the shoot? Because otherwise no one can play Smash the Rat, and that would be great if you could do that. Thanks a lot. And that's...